Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud Beis. We're going to begin on the first of the wide lines on Yud Beis, Omud Aleph, with the quoting of the Mishnah, Beisil Omim Bepruta. We're learning today Le'ili Nishmas, Irving Wengrafsky. All the Nishamas we learned for should have an Aliyah from our learning. So we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Beisil Omim Bepruta. We had the Machlokes Beisil Beishama. Yesterday we discussed Beishama Shita. We gave four reasons why Beishama holds that the minimal amount of Kiddushin that a man can give to a woman is a dinar, a silver dinar, or a shavet dinar, or the value of a shavet dinar. However, the opinion of Beisil is a pruta or shavet pruta, Beisil Omim Bepruta. So the Gemara says, Savi Rav Yosef Lemeimar, Yosef wanted to suggest that when Beisil says a pruta, it means pruta kolduhu. It means every generation, every place will have its own value of a pruta. Sometimes a pruta will be worth a certain amount of money, sometimes it'll be worth less than that, sometimes more than that. There is no set amount that the Torah says in terms of silver, how much a pruta has to be, but whatever the lowest denomination coin is in any area, that is the value of the pruta that Beisil is referring to for the minimum amount of kiddushin or shava pruta. That's what Rav Yosef says. Abaye doesn't like this. Only Abaye says to Rav Yosef, v'ha alok tani. But in regard to this definition of a pruta, our Mishnah taught us, how much is a pruta? The Mishnah said, kamahi pruta, how much is the value of a pruta? Echad, one, mishmona, one-eighth of an isor, but isor ha-italki, a certain known coin that was a certain value. So a pruta had to be one-eighth of that coin, that isor ha-italki. So you see, it does have a set amount. It has to be one-eighth of this Isar Italki, which was a well-known amount. And therefore, how can you tell us, Rabbi Yosef, that it could be the smallest coin of that domain that is acceptable for Kiddushin, regardless of whether it's worth an eighth of an Isar Italki or not? Here you see clearly, our Mishnah said it has to be one worth the worth of one-eighth of an Isar Italki. Ah, you're going to tell me, v'chitema, that statement of our Mishnah, that it has to be worth one-eighth of an Isar Talki, that was only hani midli b'dorosh of Moshe. That was referring to the value of a pruta during the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. But nowadays, aval hocha, you know what? Kidechashva lehu le'inshe. It's whatever the lowest value coin is. That pruta is acceptable, regardless of its relationship to the Isar Talki. But that's not true, Abaye says. V'ha, because we see that nowadays, again, in the times of the Gemara, in the times of the Talmud Bavli, Valchi Yosef Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Shier Rav Simoi, Rav Simoi said that Bidoro, in his generation, how much is the pruta worth? Kami pruta? He says, Echod Mishmona be'Isar Italki. It is worth one-eighth of the Isar Italki, even in his generation. And later on, the Chisot also Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said that the amount is Amar. He said the name of Rav Dostoy, Rav Yanai, Rav Oshai. He said the name of these three great Amoraim, Shiru, Kama, Heavy Pruta. They estimated how much is the Pruta. They evaluated how much is the Pruta. And they said it's Echad Mishisha B'Isar Italki. It's now worth one-sixth of an Isar Italki. In other words, there is a set amount that a Pruta has to be in relationship to the Isar Italki. So therefore, how can you tell us that it means called Hu Rav Yosef, that it means whatever the lowest denomination coin is, that's fine. No, it has to be a certain relationship to the Isar Italki. Talki, to a silver coin. And therefore, this statement you're making, Rav Yosef, that it is a kolduhu, is incorrect. Now, how does Rav Yosef respond to that? So, Rav Yosef, says back to Abaye, Ihochi, if what you're saying is right, then how do you explain, Hainu de Tinina, how do you explain the following? Say the Chashov, go and calculate how much, Kama Prutos, Bishnei Sloim, Yosef Miyapai. This Bryce estate, go and evaluate, go and calculate how many prutos there are in two sloyim, two certain size coins, and you'll find Yosem Yapayim, there are more than 2,000. Now, Hashta Alpayim lo havyon, Yosem Yapayim Koriluhu. If you go and do the calculation, which the Gemara will now do, you'll see that, in fact, there aren't more than 2,000. There are actually quite a bit less than 2,000. As we'll calculate out, there's only 1,536 prutos in these shnei sloyim. And how do you get to that calculation? So Rashi explains that this Mishnah Zu Shnuya Eitzel Nanem in a Hekdish, if a person is mauled from Hekdish, so in order to show you how important it is for a person not to be mauled from Hekdish, that even if you go and take a very, very, very small amount, you're mauled with a pruta, nevertheless, you have to bring a carbon that is worth two sloyim. The Asham Mi'ila that you have to bring is worth two sloyim, which is well more than the value of the amount that you usurped by accident from the Hekdish. Shemevi al Hanoyas Pruta, even even benefit of one pruta, you have to bring an asham that is brought by kesev shkolim, with two sloim, with two kesev shkolim, and go and calculate out. Say the chashav lusrachik min ha'aveira sha'afal shogi tzorech kapar gedol gozu. Look how far the Torah is telling us to stay away from this aveira, that even for very, very small hanah of just the pruta, you have to bring a carbon that is worth two sloim. Now Rashi in Dira Maslo, alpha of the chomesh Neya, Vitlosin Ushisa Havyon, in this Rashi that is going on the next piece of the Gemara, but we might as well learn it now, where it says that this Pruta, there actually are 1,536 Prutos in these two slime. How does he get that? So he says, Shasela Dala Dinar. One Sela is equal to 4 Dinar. And each dinar is chaf dalad isar. This is the isar haritalki that we're talking about. So you have 4 dinarim in a sela, and you have 24 isarim in a dinar, as the Gemara is going to say, kilo lekaman. The e isar. Now, if the isar haritalki is shmona prutos, so liolam nimtza, it turns out, therefore, that kuf tzadi beis prutos are in one single dinar, because there are 8 prutos in an isar, because it's 1/8 of an isar. So therefore, 8 prutos equals 1 isar, and there are 24 isarim in a dinar. So 8 times 24 is 192. And since there are 4 dinarim in a sela, so in 2 sela, there's going to be 8 of these dinarim. And each dinar, we just said, is 192 prutos, so it's going to be 8 times 192, and therefore that equals 1,536. As Rashi says, Vashmona dinar should stay slayim, olim kolechot, masayim prutos chasu shmona, 192, times 8, hare elef, vitof kuf lamed vav, 1,536. So therefore, that's far less than 2,000. If you're saying that it's always 1/8, so then how can this Raisa tell us that say the chashov kama prutos b'shnei slime yosem yalpaim? Look how many more prutos there are in 2 slime. It's 1,000. No, it's not. It's really 1,536. So the Gemara says, Amaluhu ha'usaba. There was a certain older man. Some say that this older man Tosus brings down elsewhere is referring to Eliyahu Navi, but lav davka. In any event, there was this one older man who said, no, you're reading the Braisa wrong. Anah, in the law, we learn the Braisa, not that Seva Chashov Kama Prutus Rishnei Shalom Yoser Mi'apayim, but read it as Korov Le'apayim. It's near 2,000. And look how you have to be careful. For just getting Hanah of one Pruta, you have to pay so much more, 1,536 times more to bring a carbon Asham Mi'ila. Where it says, but still, 1536 is not what you would call Korov to 2,000. So, bottom line, Alpha v'chamei shmeya utlos and v'shisa, 1,536, hu dahavin is what it is, which is not what most people would call korov to 2,000. So one says, yes, it is. Kivan the nav kalu mipagul, once you're over 1,500, so you round it off. So yeah, korov l'apayim korelate. So we do round it off. It's almost 2,000. People have the right to say it's almost 2,000. The teacher's his point. We're not interested here in the exact calculation. We're interested in teaching us the idea how careful a person has to be from naveira. Say the chashov l'srachik min naveira. That's what Rashi is telling us the Gemara's purpose is over here, and therefore to say it's almost 2,000 when it's really 1,536 is certainly accurate and acceptable. Now, Gufo, we go back and discuss this in a little bit more detail. Ki also Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar, he said that Shia Rav Simoi Bidoro Kama Hipruta and Echod Mishmona B'Yisar Italki. He'd calculated now there was 1/8 of the Yisar Italki. And when Ravin came, Ki also Ravin from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Shiaru, he had said that Rav Dostoy, Rav Yane, Rav Ushaya had calculated to be Kama Hipruta Echod Mishish of Yisar Italki, 1/8 versus 1/6. These were the two calculations that came out. So Abaye asked, suddenly Abaye, Rav Dimi, Abaye said to Rav Dimi, should we say that you two on the right are arguing machlokes tanoim? Name at the rovin bifluxo dahani tanoi ko miflagisu? Are you in fact arguing about the following machlokes tanoim? Now, that's really unlikely, the Tanya, because if the Tanaim are arguing about it, so the Amarim would normally bring down that this is what the Machlokas Tanaim is. The Tanya, Pruta, Shamru, that which we defined what a Pruta is, so the Raisa tells us the Tanakam holds that this Pruta, Shamru, Chachamim, is Echod Mishmona B'Isar Italki. It's 1/8 of the Isar Italki. Now, how do you figure that out? Because Sheish Ma Kesav Dinar, there are 6 silver Ma in a single silver Dinar. Now, Ma, how much is a ma? Shnei punyonin. It's 2 punyonin to make up a ma. And each punyon is shnei isar. This is the Isar Italki that we're talking about. And Isar, Shnei Musmisim. Each Isar is composed of two coins known as Musmisim. And each of these Musmisim, Masmes is a singular, Shnei Kontiroknin. So that's what the value of each Masmes is two of these coins known as Kontironkin. And each of these coins, known in the singular as a Kontironk, so each of these coins is Shtei Prutos. Oh, now we have our denomination. So here, turns out, if you do the calculation, Nimsa Pruta, Achas Mishmona, Isar Italki. If you go carry this backwards, so you'll see that each Isar is actually 1/8 of the Isar HaItalki. Because the Isar is two of these Musmisin, and each of these Musmisin is two Konturonkin, and each of the Konturonkin is Shtei Pruto. So it's 2 times 2 times 2, which is 8, 1/8. And therefore, that is the value, according to the Tanakhama, 1/8. And on the other hand, Yeshiva Gamaliel Omer, no. Shlosha Hadresin Lamar. There are three of these Hadresin, another type of coin, in a Mar. And Shnei Henatsin Lehadresin. And each of these Hadresin is composed of two coins known as Henatsin. And these Shnei Henatsin make up one Hadres. And then you have Shnei Shmonim, another name of a coin, for each one of these Hanetzin, and Beis Prutos make up one of these Shomin. And therefore, if you do this calculation, Nimsa Pruta is Achas Mishisha Beisar Haritalki. How do you get that? So you have to go back to the previous calculation, which Rav Shimon Gamliel doesn't disagree with, that a dinar is equal to 6 ma, and each ma is equal to 3 hadrasin. And therefore, if you go and calculate this out, there's a total of 144 prutos in this single dinar. And therefore, if you divide that into 24 isarim, because nobody disagrees with that either, so then it's 24 into 144, which is 6 prutos. So therefore, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, there is only 1/6. An isar is made up of 6 prutos. Each pruto is 1/6 of an isar italki. So therefore, this is a machlokes between the opinion of the Tanakhama and Rishon Gamliel. As the Gemara says, Nimsa Pruta, according to Rishon Gamliel, is Achs Mishisha B'Isar Italki, and therefore, Lema, Demar, Omar, Ketanakhama, let us say that you, Rav Dimi, hold like the Tanakhama, whereas Viravin, Domar, Kirishon Gamliel. So is this true that you, Rav Dimi, and Ravin are arguing about the same machlokas that the Tanayim did? So Rav Dimi says, no, in fact, that's not the case. Amalei, Rav Dimi says back to Abaye that both I and the opinion of Rava, that he brings down the name of the three Amarayim, Vein Didi, Vein Ravin, Aliba Tanakama, we all go in accord with the opinion of the Tanakama that the Pruta is 1/8 of the Isar Italki. We can calculate it out that way according to both of us. Lokasha, it depends. Ha diakor isurei, ha dezol isurei. It depends. The fluctuation comes from the price of the isar italki, and that's where the difference is. That we're not disagreeing on the total value over here. We're arguing upon what the value is at that time of the isar italki, and then the pruta will be in relationship to that. So, ha diakor isurei kum esrim arba bezuzah. When you have the Isur is at a high value, so then there are 24 Isurim in a single dinar, in a single Zuz. Dinar and Zuz are interchangeable. Hard to dissolve, but when the prices go down, the valuation of the coin is not so much, so then Kum Tlostin Utrain Bezuzah. Then there are 32 Isurim to a Zuz, and therefore that calculation will be different for the Pruta, both within the opinion of the Tanakhama. Okay. Bottom line is that the machlokis over here is, in fact, based upon what the value of the Isar was, because the Isar, the silver, goes up and down sometimes in its evaluation in terms of how many prutos are in the Isar. Okay, we finished the coinage lesson, the math lesson, and we go forth with the following additional statement. Omer Shmuel, Shmuel tells us, Kitcha b'tamara, if a man goes as a Makadish woman with a date. Now, dates were not very valuable. They weren't worth a shava pruta in most places. So it says, afilu omed kor tvarim bedinar. Even if you can go, and it's relatively expensive to buy tvarim, you'll have to go and pay for an entire kor's worth of dates, which is 30 saws worth of dates with a dinar, even if you figure that out. So each tamar, each date individually, will be less than a shava pruta. Nevertheless, Shmuel says, Mikudeshes, the woman is considered Mikudeshes. I is less than a shava pruta. So Shmuel says, we have to be concerned. Chayshinon, maybe Shema shava pruta b'modai. Yes, over here, right now, the single date is worth less than a shava pruta. But maybe in Modai, where you can't buy a quarter's worth of dates for a dinar, there you'll have to pay much more for it. So there, in Monday, maybe it is a shavah pruta. So Shmuel says you have to be choshes, even though in the place where you are, it's not worth a shavah pruta, but maybe in another place, such as Monday, it will be worth a shavah pruta, and therefore the woman is mikudeshes. More questions. It says, really? It has to be a pruta or a shavah pruta. And clearly, where you are, this date is not worth a shavah pruta. Why would Shmuel say that she is mekudeshes? So Shmuel says, no, it's not a problem. Shmuel's not arguing with Beis Hillel. In fact, lo kasha, ha b'kiddushe vadai, Shmuel is not talking about kiddushe vadai. Hillel is saying, if it's worth a shavah pruta, the woman is definitely mekudeshes, and therefore, 100% certain this woman is Mekudeshes, and if somebody else would give the Kiddushin, we wouldn't need to get from that other person. This woman was already Mekudeshes to the first guy. The second guy's actions are nothing. So that's Mekudeshe Vadai. So there you definitely need to know that it's worth a Pruta or a Shava Pruta in the place where you are. Ha, Mekudeshe Vadai is what Hillel is talking about. But when Shmuel added his din, he says, ha, Mekudeshe Sofek, we have to be concerned that maybe this is a Shava Pruta in Vadai, and therefore, maybe this woman, in fact, is Mekudeshes. Or, on the other hand, maybe it's not. And therefore, it's a Sofek Mekudeshes, is what Shmuel's telling us. And that would have ramifications if another person would give a Kiddushin, would you not need a get from the first person in order to go and marry the second person, or vice versa. So therefore, this is Bekiddushe Sofek that we're dealing with. And that is what Shmuel's addition is to the Din of Beis Hillel. Now, once from Maisa Shoya, how Gavra, the once was a person, the Akdish, he went to be Makadish, a woman, Bezavda de Urde. Rashi tells us Zavda de Urde is Aguda, a bundle, Shalmochen, some sort of a bundle or a collection of this soft material that comes from the sheep. So this is like a bundle of wool. A moch is something soft that's put into a woman, for example, for contraception. The Gemara tells us a number of places, so they would allow this type of contraception, some sort of a woolen sponge, to be inserted into the woman to absorb the zera, so the woman wouldn't become pregnant. So this is a bundle of this wool. So Yosef Rav Simi Bar Chiya, Rav Simi Bar Chiya was sitting kamei de Rav in front of Rav, and he was looking at it to see, is this zavda de urde, this bundle of wood, wool, that this person was Makadish the woman, was it worth a pruta or not? He is be shava pruta, in, if it was worth a shava pruta, the woman would in fact be married. She had accepted this as a valid kiddushin, so if it's worth a shava pruta, she's married. Elo, but he looked to see, if it was worth a shava pruta, then she would not be married. But the Gemara says, wait a second, ve'i les be shava pruta, lo? Are you telling me that if it's not worth a shava pruta, then this woman's not married? What about Shmuel's din? V'amar Shmuel, chayshidim, we have to be concerned that maybe in Monday, maybe someplace else, it is worth a shava pruta, but here it's not. So again, the Gemara says, lo kasha. Same thing over here. He was looking to see, is this hob kiddushe vadai? Was this definitely worth a shava pruta? And then, with this zavda de urde, this woman was definitely 100% married. And then, somebody else gives a kiddushin, that other person's kiddushin would be valueless, because she's already a married woman. So, in regards to kiddushe vadai, he was looking to see, did it or did it not have that value of a pruta? Albeit, however, we are choshish for Shmuel, harbi kiddushe sofik, maybe it is valued at a pruta someplace else, and therefore we would in fact have to be concerned for this kiddushin, or maybe not, we don't have to be concerned for this kiddushin. That's what he was looking to see. For the kiddushe vadai aspect, the kiddushe sofik part, certainly that would be a concern according to Shmuel. Another maisa, how Gavra, there once was a man that was a Makadish, a woman, the Akdish, be Avna de Kuchla. What is Avna de Kuchla? So Rashi says, Shayishach, or a dark black type of marble, Doma Lekho, but it was like a deep blue color. So he was Makadish, the girl, with such a stone. Now, unclear if this was worth a Shava Pruta. Another person then came along and gave this woman Kiddushin. And Yosef Rav Chista v'komishale. So Rav Chista was sitting there and evaluating, was the original Avno de Kuchla worth a Shava Pruta or not? He is a Shava Pruta in. Then this woman is definitely married, and the second person's Kiddushin is of no consequence. V'ilav. But if this was not a Shava Pruta, this Avno de Kuchla, so then the first person did in fact not marry this woman, and therefore she's not Mekudeshes to the first person, and then the second person comes along and gives her Kiddushin, she's married to the second person. So the lo, lo. Gemara says, what about Shmuel? The less be Shava Pruta lo, v'ha Shmuel chayshinon. Isn't Rav Chista concerned about Shmuel? So the Gemara says, no, Rav Chista lo savalei de Shmuel. He didn't hold Shmuel. He said, if it's not worth the Shava Pruta over here, end of the discussion, the woman is not Mekudeshes. It might be worth that in Modai, it may be worth that someplace else. He's not concerned with that opinion. So Rav Chista argues with Shmuel. Now, Maisa Shehoya, Amalei Ime, in this story of the man being Makadesh, the woman with the Abdon, the Kuchla, so this man's mother came along. Amalei Ime, she goes and tells Rav Chista, the Kitcha, on the day that my son gave this Avno de Kuchla to that woman for Kiddushin, I'm testifying, have a bay Shava Pruta. I know for a fact that on that day it was worth a Shava Pruta. And therefore, my son is in fact married to that woman, Vadai. Chista tells us, sorry, Amalah, Lav Kol Kaminach, the Asris Law Abasra. You don't have the power to go and say that this is true. You're not able to go and say that your son married his daughter Vadai and take it away from the second person. We looked into it. It wasn't worth the Shava Pruta, and therefore the second person's Kiddushin is a valid Kiddushin, and you, the mother of the first person, don't have the right to take it away. Lav kol kaminoch diasusli. You don't have the power, as Rashi says, lohoy, to go and testify Sharishon Kiddushin, that this Avno de Kuchla was in fact worth a Pruta, and Va'osraso Abasra, and now to tell the second guy that he is not married to the woman. You don't have the power to do that. We turn to your base on the base. And Rav Chista says, I'll show you that I'm right, because isn't this exactly the same din as the famous story of Yehudis, the wife of Rav Chia? Lav hainu de Yehudis, de visu de Rabbi Chia. Yehudis was the wife of Rav Chia. She's mentioned a number of times in less than flattering way in the Gemara, and in specifically, in the Gemara in Yevamos tells us that she had two sets of twins. She had Chizkia and Yehuda as her first set of twins, and then she had two girls, Pazi and Tavi, as a second set of twins. And it tells us specifically in regards to Yehuda and Chizkia that this was one of the longest pregnancies ever, because the pregnancy of one of them was 7 months and the pregnancy of the other one was 9 months. So the same twins, they didn't come out at the same time. So this was an extremely unusual and painful pregnancy for her. So this story, it unfolds after that giving birth. So what happened? The Havalei Tzarei, that she had a very unusual and very painful pregnancy, in that it took the difference between the first twin coming out and the second twin coming out, it took 2 months. So Amalei, so she said to Rav Chia, her husband, that she no longer wanted to stay married to him because she saw that already she'd had two sets of twins and each time was very painful. So she told Rav Chia, Amalei, my mom told me that my father, in fact, kibo bei avuch kidushe ki zutart, that when I married you, I was already married. My father had married me off to somebody, and therefore I can no longer stay married to you. So Rav Chia tells her, Amalah, lav kol kamino di'imoch di'asras lech ilavoy. Your mom doesn't have the ability to go and ask me to you by telling us now after the fact that, in fact, your father had married you off to someone else, and therefore you're a married woman, and I can't stay married to you. Your mom doesn't have the power to go do that. And Rav Chista said, this story with Yehudis, the Visu, the Rabbi Chia, is in fact exactly analogous to the case of the mother of the first bin who had given this Avdon de Kuchla as Kiddushin. She doesn't have the power to say, yes, it was definitely worth the Shavu Pruta, and you're married to my son and not to the second guy. Okay, interesting. At the end of the story in Yevamos, that Yehudis then disguised himself and went to Rav Chia and said, is there a mitzvah of puravu for a woman? And he told her, no, technically the din is only a man is mechuyev in puravu, a woman is not mechuyevis. And then she took a kosheli karin, she took a potion of some sort that made her sterile. And Rav Chia bemoaned, he said, oh, if only she had given me one more set of twins. And that's what Rashi says over here, that I, the Amar, Yehuda v'Chizkia, Ochi, Opazi v'Tavi, Achvasa. Oh, I had such beautiful children. It says that Chizkia and Yehuda were grew to be great Talmidei Chacham. This is the famous Yehuda and Chizkia that we have throughout Shas, as well as the two daughters, Pazi and Tavi. They married two great Talmidei Chacham, and they had tremendous lineage after them. So, in any event, Ruchi bemoaned the fact that his wife now was an Akara and wouldn't be able to give him any more twins. Okay, in any event, I'm Le Rabbanu Le Rav Chista. The Rabbanu said to Rav Chista, Ha Ika Sahade Be'idis. What about if we have the knowledge that there are witnesses in a place called Idis? The Tosa says the gears are Uris. In any event, this other place that there are witnesses there. Now, we don't know for a fact that these witnesses are able to testify that it was worth the Shavu Pruta, but the rumor has it that there are witnesses in this place, Idis or Uris, that in fact can testify that this is worth the Shavu Pruta. Don't we have to be concerned about them? The Yodei Debahau Yoma have a base Shavu Pruta, so don't we have to be concerned about this? So Chista said, no, you don't. Hashto, mi, alo, listenu, come on, they're not here. So we don't have to be concerned that maybe, because otherwise, in the dove itself, maybe there's some witnesses at the end of the world, so nothing will ever get done. So therefore, right now, if they were here, we would obviously listen to them, and they would be able to testify the worth of Shavu Pruta and should be married to the first person and not to the second person. But if they're not here, and we estimate right now that it's not worth a Shavu Pruta, so then she's married to the second person and not to the first person. Where it says, I'll show you that I'm right. Rav Chisda says, "Lav haynu de Rav Chanina." This is exactly analogous to the story of Rav Chanina. What happened with Rav Chanina? Then Rav Chanina had been told in regards to the daughters of Shmuel that had been captured. A very famous story, which Rashi brings down in Dibra Maschol the Rabbi Chanina, and he says the Gemara in Kesubas tells us Gabe Banse the Shmuel, the daughters of Shmuel, the Ashes Tavian, they were captured. Yaisinu lebe Midrash, they were brought to the base Medrash afterwards of Rabbi Chanina. And they left their captives outside because one of the captives was Isser Giura, who eventually converted to become a Yid. And therefore, they wanted their husbands to stay with them. But they kept them outside for now because while they had been captured, nobody knew that they'd been captured. So, they kept their captives outside. And Ha'amra, and they came into the base of Rabbi Chanina and said, Nishbesi, we had been captured. However, Utorani, but they claimed that they were Tahora. The Chayin Idach and the other sisters said the same thing. That Tiram Likuhuna. And Rabbi Chanina said they are still considered as if they'd never been assaulted, and therefore they are permissible to actually marry Kohanim. For Amu Leila Rechanina, the people told Rabbi Chanina, Ha Iko Sahadi Bedina Sayam, Shiroa son Shinishbu. Wait a second, these women aren't the Pesha Asa Pesha Hita that you're claiming them to be. We have potential witnesses that are far away, but there are witnesses that saw them in the Bedina Sayam. If we have witnesses that they were captured, then we no longer can believe them that they say that they weren't assaulted. The he omeris ta'arani ain't an emetis. She's no longer believed because she's not the independent voice telling us that she was captured, and therefore she's believed, peshasa peshiiter, that she wasn't assaulted. Here we have independent evidence corroborating the fact that she was captured, so therefore she's not believed to say ta'arani. V'amalu, so Rabbi Chanina said back to them, hashta miya listu. We don't have such witnesses here right now. The Einon Me'idin al Shvi'ison v'natiraim. Then we don't have to go, and we don't have any witnesses that can go and testify that she is, in fact, was a captive, and therefore we have no reason to not permit them to go marry Kohanim. So therefore, this is what our Gemara is telling us. Rabbi Chanina said about that case, Eidel b'tzad Ista. The Eidim that you're talking about are far away in the north. Ista literally means the north. And we should go and ask these women to marry a Kohen right now. No, we don't have any evidence that they were in fact captive. You're telling me maybe there were witnesses in the north. That's not our concern. Ein l'davar so. And therefore, they are permitted to go and marry Kohanim. Now, Abaye and Rava lo svir lehu lohad Rav Chisda. Abaye and Rava, they disagreed with Rav Chisda. Not for the reason that Rav Chisda disagreed with Shmuel. Shmuel said chay shinan. But Abaye and Rava disagreed with Rav Chisda for a different reason. They said im hekelu bishvuya. In regards to a shvuya, Rabbi Chanina was very lenient because a woman who's captured can make herself look not very pretty. The minavla nafsha, she can make herself look disgusting. Gabi shaboy. In regards to the captives, that they won't want to go and assault her because she could go make herself not look very nice, and maybe the captives won't assault her. So therefore, Rabbi Chanina was able to be makel in that situation by saying that we don't have witnesses here right now. But lav davka, would he always be makel? Neko be'eshes ish, would we say over here that in regards to a married woman, that we should say that there is absolutely no concern about witnesses in Idis or Uris that could testify the other day the Yoma have a Beishava Pruta? In that situation, we wouldn't necessarily say that. And therefore, Abaye and Rava, they disagreed with Rav Chisda for a different reason than what Shmuel said. What was the bottom line with his family? So Rav Chisda had allowed the second Kedushin to take effect. He wasn't concerned about the first Kedushin. And Ishtayer Mehaye Mishpacha B'Surah, that family continued to procreate and have children in Surah. But however, Uparshu Rabbana Mina, the rabbis were always concerned over here, even though Rav Chisda had passed, there was mutter to her be married to the second husband. We didn't have to be choshesh, the first person who gave the Abna de Kuchla. Nevertheless, the rabbis stayed away because they were concerned that maybe the original Kedushin was a valid Kedushin, and therefore the second marriage was not a valid marriage, and all the children of Mamzeim. So the rabbi stayed away from that family and didn't allow them to marry into those families. And again, not because of Shmuel, but Lav Mishum the Sri Lud the Shmuel. And you have to be concerned about this Evan Kuchla maybe was worth a Shavuot Pruta someplace else, but no. El Mishum the Svira Lehu Kabaye V'Rava. They were concerned about what Abaye and Rava said, that in regards to Kedushin, we have to be stricter, as opposed to in the case of the Shru, you don't have to be so strict because there was a way to prevent the woman from being assaulted. Okay. How Gavra, another story. The Akdish Bishotisa the Asa Bishuka. There was another man that went, and it was a Kaddish, a woman, with a little small amount of Asa, myrtle, of Hadassim, in the marketplace, in the shuk. And Sholcha Rav Acha Bar Huna Lekamai de Rav Yosef. So Rav Acha Bar Huna sends Rav Yosef Kehai Gav Demai. Is this kedushin a good kedushin or is it not a good kedushin? So Sholach Lei Rav Yosef sent back to Rav Acha Bar Huna. In such a situation, Rav would give lashes. Oh, this is the famous Rav we referred to many times in the recent Shiurim, that Rav would give lashes to a man who would be Makadesh, a woman, with Bia. So, Nagde Kirav. We give lashes to this guy like Rav, because you'll see, Rav didn't only say, if you're Makadesh with Bia, Rav gave a list of other things that he would give lashes to, because they were preetzes, they were improper. So, to go and marry a woman in the Shuk is a very preetzes, dicker thing, and therefore Rav would give lashes to such a woman. And the Itzruch Gita Kishmul, and we have to be concerned about Shmuel's Shita, that maybe this is worth the Shavapruta, even if it's not worth the Shavapruta in this market over here, it might be worth the Shavapruta someplace else, and therefore she would require a get from this person if she wanted to marry somebody else, Als Sofik. Now, Gvor explains, the Rav Mangid, Rav would give lashes to people that did various things that were preetzes in Rav's eyes. So Rav would give lashes, rabbinical lashes, the Makis Mardus, the Rav Mangid al the Makadish Meshukah, the man would just go and be Makadish woman in the marketplace. It's pasnish to do so. Rashi says, we shouldn't preetzusa the Kodesh Meshukah. That's not the proper way, a proper cover to give to a Jewish woman to be Makadish in the marketplace. Furthermore, beyond the Makadish Meviah, he would likewise give lashes, is the famous statement of Rav, if a man would be Makadish woman with Bia without having anything beforehand, without having a proper kesef kiddushin beforehand, or a shtar kiddushin, to do things properly with shiduchim, so then he would be giving such a person lashes if he just got married via bia. And Rashi tells us, because it's inappropriate in this situation, again, for preetzistic a person is to put two witnesses outside the door and let them know that we're going in there to have relations. I'm being a Makadish in that way. It's just a preetzistic thing to do, and he would give lashes to a person who did it. The kiddushin would be valid, but he's still strongly urged them not to do so, and we give lashes to somebody that did so. Furthermore, the Makadish below Shiduchei, if they were to get married without having the proper preparations and conversations, the Shiduchim aspect of it, he would also give lashes for. Likewise, Rav would give lashes to people, al demavato gita. Now, Rashi understands al demavato gita in a different way than Tosus. Rashi understands it, this is a person, hashaleach get li'ishto, he sends a get to his wife, but then changes his mind, and he goes to the shaleach and tells him not to give the get. So Rashi says you have to be concerned that the shliach might give this get anyway, and therefore the woman will mistakenly think she's divorced because she assumes this is a valid get. The shliach's giving it to her on behalf of her husband, when in fact the husband retracted that shlichus. That's the way Rashi understands it. Tosus says, what are we dealing over here with Rishayim? Birishai Askinan, we're dealing here with a horrible person that even though he was told not to give the get, he's going to give the get? No. So therefore, Tosos explains that we're talking about that he was Mavatal the get in the Beis Din, but the Shaliach doesn't know about it, the woman doesn't know about it, and therefore that could lead to a tremendous takala. That's what it's talking about. So Rav would go and give lashes to somebody who was Mavatal the get, either like Rashi or like Tosos. Likewise, V'al Demosa Modo Agita, a man is sometimes forced by the Beis Din under certain circumstances that we learned in the Gemara and Gittin to go and give a get to a woman because Rotz Ani, he really wants to give it, but Beis Din has to force him to give it. But this person knows that Beis Din is going to force him to give the get and he'll have to give the get. So he tells people beforehand, I'm doing this under duress. I'm being forced by Beis Din and therefore it's not a valid get. So Rav would give lashes to somebody who gave him odah about the get that he's about to give if he told people that I'm not giving this willingly. So he would give lashes to such a person, Makis Mardus. And finally, Baal de Mitzayir Shluch de Rabban, if somebody would have the Beis Din Shlichim come to them, and he, Rashi says, would hit them, would give them a hard time, the Ran says, even if he just gave them verbal abuse, that's enough that Rav would go and give these lashes to this person for not treating the Beis Din's Shlichim properly. And finally, Baal de Cholo Shamto Ilave Tlosin Yomim, if a man would be in a state of shamta, in a state of excommunication for 30 days, and he doesn't try to rectify it by asking forgiveness from the person who put him into shamta, so Rav would then give him lashes, give him makas mardus. And the last one is v'chasana d'dayer be'chamua, and about a chasan that would go live in the in-law's house. He would live in his wife's parents' house. Why is that? Because of the concern that the mother-in-law and the chasan might, rachman l'slan, come to have an illicit relationship. So therefore, Rav would tell him, don't live with your mother-in-law in the same house. Just like the daughter of the mother likes you, the mother-in-law might like you as well, and therefore that is a tremendous potential for takala, and therefore he would give lashes to somebody that lived in his wife's parents' house. Now, the Gemara says, the Dayer, that's if he lived there in, but Chalif, lo, if he just goes there occasionally, passes by there, that's not something that is wrong, but we had a case for Ha'u Chasana, the Chalif Abba, the Bechamua, the ones who was a Chasana that would pass regularly by the house of his mother-in-law,
And Vinagdi Rav Sheshes, and Rav Sheshes would go and give him lashes for doing so. So the Gemara says, yeah, that was actually the problem. How meidam habes daima chamos imine? Yeah, there was unfortunately rumors going about that they were having an illicit relationship, so therefore Rav Sheshes gave him lashes for even just going in that vicinity. In general, Lamaisa, we're not concerned about this nowadays, but in those days there was, certainly was a concern, and therefore Rav would give lashes for it. Now, that was the opinion that we first brought down. But now all of these things, low man could rap, he wouldn't necessarily give lashes. Well, except for the following. Elo, al bekadish bevia below shiduche. If a man were to go get married without preparations beforehand, so he would have relations with his wife, even though there was a kesef kiddusha, but he didn't have all the proper preparations beforehand, so he uses for that one. And others say that in Ardoi, v'ikud the Amre, that afilu b'shiduchi nami, even in the case of shiduchim, even if they did have shiduchim, rao and give lashes if they were makadish with bia, even if there were proper preparations beforehand, mishum pritzu. So again, because it's an improper thing to go and appoint witnesses to go and say, here we're going to go be makadish by having relations with her, that's a pritzatika thing. Even if there was a shiduchim, a proper plan, rao would give lashes one who was makadish the bia, as we said many times till now. Another Maisa Shaya, how Gavra, there was a man, the Kadesh Vitzivta the Osa. He was Makadesh, a woman with a mat, a reed mat, made out of these Asa twigs, made out of these myrtles, these hadasim, these twigs. So it was a mat, it wasn't worth a Shava Pruta. Armule, the woman said, after she had accepted this Kedushin, she said, Vaha les be Shava Pruta. I explained this with the Girsa that Rashi has, which is not that Amru lay, but it is that Amru lay, that she said to him. According to the Girsa that we have in our Gemara, Amru lay, so then there were people around and they said, hey, b'hol les b'hol shavapruta, this isn't worth a shavapruta. But he told them, yes, it is, because you look what's inside. Amru, he said to either the people around there, or he said to the lady, tik dush b'arba zuze disba, I really would be mekadesh you with the arba zuzim that I put inside this reed bat. There was like a hidden present inside, shekalta v'ishtika, and she kept it. She took it and didn't say anything, implying that she had accepted it. However, she didn't know about it at the time that she accepted it. So Amar Rava says, since she was silent at the time that she got it and didn't say anything, Havashtikusa Vili Akar Matan Mos. So she only was silent now and didn't say, yes, I accept this Kiddushin or some formal acceptance of it after she had already gotten it into her possession. And therefore, Rava says, V'chosh tikusa dili achar matan mos lav klum hi. Rava therefore felt that her acceptance of this gift implied absolutely nothing, because at the time that she got it, she didn't know it was there. And only after she already had it in her possession did she find out about it, and therefore, this is not a valid kedushin. And Rava says, I'll show you why I'm right. I'm a Rava. Where do I get my shita from that this woman who was quiet after she had already received the money and didn't say anything is not a valid kiddushin? So Rava says the Tanya, because it's in the following brisa that I got my shita from. On my law, if a man says to a woman, kinsi sela zuba pikadon, he gives her a sela and he says, hold on to it, it'll be pikadon, it'll be security with you, I'm giving you this pikadon. And then subsequently, before she actually takes it, b'chazavi amar lo hiskachi libo. So before she actually takes it, he says, no, I'm changing to kesef kedushin. So b'shas matan mos, at the time that the money is actually being given to her, this quote pikadon is being given to her, it's being given over to her as kesef kedushin, so therefore mikudeshes. But liachar matan mos, if he already gave her over this money as a pikadon, and she took it as a pikadon, and he then subsequently tells her, I want this to be Kesef Kiddushin. So then she asks the state, Ratzasa, she says, yes, I want this, so then Mikudeshes. However, Lo Ratzasa, if she doesn't actually state this, then Eina Mikudeshes. Now, how do we know that this is what these words mean? So the Gemara will prove it, that Ratzasa means she actually stated, I want to be Mikudeshes, so then it's Mikudeshes. But if she doesn't state it, she's just silent, it's not Mikudeshes. How do we know that that's what these words mean? So the Gemara says, my Ratzasa, my Lo Ratzasa. How do we know what these words mean? Ratzasa means that she absolutely stated it, and Lo Ratzasa means she was just silent, because if you said it any other way, it doesn't make any sense. Because Ilema, if you're telling me Ratzasa just means the Amr in, and Lo Ratzasa means the Amr Lo, which said no, so if you're telling me that it has to be a definitive statement yes or a definitive statement no, so that in the Reisha, where she didn't say anything, we call the Reisha, and we turn to Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. In the Reisha, Ki Amra, Lo, Nami Lo Chavu Kiddushin. Even though she said no, it wouldn't be a Kiddushin? Am I? Why? Ka Amra, Lo, she said no. So the Reisha, we seem to say that no matter what she says, it's going to be Kiddushin? That doesn't make any sense. If she says, no, of course it's not Kiddushin. So therefore, the way you have to understand it is as follows. When we say the word Ratzasah, El Alav, it mustn't mean that when she says the word Ratzasah, the Amr in, she absolutely stated verbally, yes, I accept the Kiddushin. And when it said V'lo Ratzasah, it meant Lo Ratzasah, the Ishtika Mishtika, that she was silent. She didn't say no, but she also didn't say yes. And here's where Rava says, this is Bryce's, the proof to my Shita. Ushmamina, Shtika Le'achem Atin Moz, below Klumhi, that if you're silent at the time that you finally find out that there was the money in there, in the mat, the four zuzim were in the mat, or at a later point in time, he says it's not a pikadon, I want it to be kesef kedushin. If you're silent then, so this is shtika that is coming after the money is given, and shtika d'la'ach ha'matin mos lo klumhi. Okay, the Gemara is not happy though. Gemara says, kashu b'pum nahara, in the city of Pum Nahara, they questioned this, and they said, in the name of Mishmei the Rav Huna, Rei the Rav Yeshua, the following kasha on what Rava just said. Mi dami, are the two cases comparable? The case of the Pikadom is not comparable to the case of the Zuzim in the reed mat. Mi dami, they're not the same, because when the woman got it, b'shem Pikadom, and then subsequently the husband says, the prospective husband says to her, I want this to be Kesef Kiddushin, so then Hasan b'toras Pikadom, Yehovinu Niyala, it was given to her as a Pikadom. So when she got it, it was a Pikadom, and therefore she's responsible for it, like a Shomachinam. Savra, she thinks therefore to herself, Isha Dina Luhu Umisbere, if I were to go and break these coins somehow, I were to drop them and I were to go and break them, so it would be my responsibility. I would have to pay for them because they were in my possession as a Shomer Chinam, and therefore I would have to go and pay for them if I were to have Pshia, if I were to drop them, if I would do something wrong with them. However, in the case of the mat, Hocha, Bitoras Kiddushin, Yehovinu Niela, when the mat was given to her with the money inside of it, albeit she didn't know it, it was given L'shem Kiddushin. And therefore she says, V'iso de lo nichola, if she chooses not to marry this guy, so L'shdenu, she's allowed to go give it back to him. And if she drops it and it breaks, that's not her problem. He gave it to her, she never accepted it. And therefore, the two cases aren't comparable. That's what they said over in the name of Rav Huna, Brother Yeshua. However, Rav Achai didn't like this. Paruch Rav Achai questioned this. He said, did all the women do the dafyomi? Did all the women know this din? This was not a well-known din, and therefore, this was not something that one would expect the women to know the difference between receiving something as pikadon and receiving something as kiddushin, which they didn't accept. And therefore, hochanami savra, the women will think in both situations, isha dina luhu mitberei mischayvino b'achrisayu, that I'm responsible no matter what. They're not going to make a distinction between having willingly accepted it as a pikadon and having not willingly accepted it as kiddushin. And therefore, most women will not know this distinction, and therefore, the comparison that Rav had made between the two cases is a valid comparison, and the pircha from Rav Huna Brei Yeshua is not a good pircha. Nu, how do we paskin? So, Shalcha Rav Acha Barav L'kamei de Ravina, Rav Acha Barav sent to Ravina that he said, Kihai Gavna Mai, in such a situation where we don't know if the woman in fact accepted the Kiddushin or not, because there was a shtika, how do we paskin? So Shalach Rei, Ravina sent back to Rav Acha Barav, and he said, Anan, by us, Lo Shmi'alon Had Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua. We either didn't hear or we didn't accept, like Rav Achai didn't accept the question that Rav Huna Brei de Yeshua had brought to Rava, so then we don't have to be concerned about it. However, Atun, the Shmi'alachu, you who are concerned about it, you heard about it and are concerned about it, so then, Chushalu, you have to go and be concerned about that, that maybe there is a distinction in the two cases, and therefore you should make sure that this woman who got the mat, the reed mat, so she should actually go and make a get from that first husband because of the possibility that, in fact, that was a valid kiddushin. This is a good break point where this will conclude today's share.